Well, we've been doing a great series at the moment, and we're in the middle of Well Done, Ending the Year with Purpose. And if you've missed any of these messages at all, really encourage you to go to YouTube and the Life You See, and you'll see the different messages and you can pick up on them. But it's a great series we're doing. And I don't know about you, but how many don't like to hear acknowledgement, approval and validation after you've done something or you've been serving in an area or if you've worked on an area or something like that, just to be that you know you've given your best and in particular what you're doing. So to hear God say, well done over us is pretty special. And what a great way to be able to finish off our year. Our key verse is found around a parable Jesus told of a master who gave his three servants certain amounts of money to invest for him while he was going away. And only two of the servants really did anything to make extra with the investment. And this was the master's response to them, which is our key verse for this whole series. In Matthew 25, verse 23, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And while over the 5 weeks we've been covering areas that enable us to end the year with purpose, today I want us to focus on one particular area, well done with God, finishing in faith. And finishing well in life and faith requires walking with God faithfully, consistently, and obediently to the very end. And this message isn't just about finishing, it's about finishing well with God and in faith. And I want to inspire you today to remain faithful to God until the very end, finishing your spiritual race, not in weariness, not in regret, but in victory and in confidence and in intimacy with God. So the first point this morning is finishing in faith begins with walking in God, walking with God. And when we look at the life of Enoch in the Bible in Genesis 5, we see he was a man who walked with God and he had many children also. The Bible doesn't say anything about his wealth, his titles, or his achievements, just that he walked with God. That was it. In Genesis 5, verse 24, it says, Enoch walked with God, then he was no more because God took him. Wow. He wasn't sprinting ahead of God or lagging behind. He just walked with God in step, in surrender, and in intimacy. And you can't finish in faith if you don't start and continue with God. Enoch's testimony wasn't about achievement, but it was about fellowship. Enoch just didn't believe in God. He walked with God daily. A well-done life starts with a well-begun walk. Walking with God means consistency in devotion. Daily time with God, not just occasional little check-ins. Psalm 5 verse 3, it says, in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice, and in the morning I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. And David surely showed a lot of daily discipline, meeting with God morning by morning. In Luke 5, verse 16, it says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Even Jesus modeled consistent devotion, not random moments. Daniel 6, verse 10 says, three times a day, Daniel, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, thanks to his God, just as he has done before. And Daniel's consistency and devotion kept him steady under pressure. And Psalm 63, verse 1 says, oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. True devotion flows from desire, not duty. Walking with God also means dependence on his direction, letting him set the pace for your life. Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Dependence means surrendering your own plans to God's guidance. Psalm 37, verse 23, The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Let God set the pace, and it means walking in step with his order, not ahead of it. Isaiah 30, verse 21. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." When you depend on God's direction, he gives clarity, not confusion. John 15, verse 5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So dependence on God is not weakness, it's the secret to fruitfulness. Get that? Dependence on God, it's not weakness, it's the secret to fruitfulness. Walking with God also means confidence in his companionship, knowing you are never alone. Deuteronomy 3:31 verse 8 says, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." God's presence is constant, before, beside, and behind you. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed because I am your God." Confidence comes from knowing who walks with you. Matthew 28 verse 20 says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus promised his presence for every season of life. Psalm 23 verse 4, "Even though I walk through the valley, darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me." God's companionship turns fear into courage. These are the words of God. They're powerful. Walking with God keeps us aligned with purpose, even when the path doesn't seem clear. Enoch walked faithfully with God for 300 years. So, Richard, you've still got a bit of time ahead of you. You're still young, Richard. His life ended not in decay, but in divine delight. Think of a little child holding their father's hand on a busy street. They don't worry about the direction or the danger. The child doesn't even need to know where they're going or the way, only to stay connected. They totally trust their father as he leads them. And that's the heart of our Father for you. He has got you. He is with you. And you do not have to worry. Here's a question we can all ask ourselves. Am I walking with God daily or just walking for God occasionally? Finishing in faith begins with walking with God. The second thing is finishing in faith requires faithfulness in the process. God's well done is not for perfection, but for faithfulness. Faithfulness is not about how big your assignment is, but how consistent your obedience is. It is easy to start strong, but it takes faith to stay strong, especially when the road is unseen. Finishing in faith means trusting and serving God through every season. Matthew 25 verse 23 again says, "His master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.'" Faithfulness is proven in small, unseen moments. When we're faithful with what's in our hands, God entrusts us with more. And faithfulness requires endurance. Staying true when even no one else is watching. A good example of this is the life of Joseph in Genesis 37 to 45. Joseph is only 17 years old when he has this dream about his future and unwisely goes and tells his brothers, who become very hacked off with Joseph and the way that dream went out. And so they trap him, they throw him into a pit, they lie to his father saying that he was now dead, and they sell him into slavery, where he ends up in the service of Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials. And there he finds favor and is rewarded with responsibility in Potiphar's household. But Potiphar's wife has too much time on her hand, and she starts checking out this well-built and handsome Joseph. And she tries to seduce him day after day, But Joseph had his head screwed on, good boy, and makes a hasty retreat from her alluring advances. She's not happy with this, so she frames him for assault and gets him put in prison. However, because of his faith in God, God's favor was upon Joseph in prison. And so he's in prison for many, many years. And now it's 11 years later and Joseph is 28. Imagine how he must have been feeling. Ever since he opened his big mouth about his dream, his whole life turned upside down. Yet he still kept his faith in the process and his faith with God. And just when it looked like he had this opportunity to get out of prison finally, even then his hopes now dashed away from him. And the Bible doesn't say anything about how he reacted or what happened to him until 2 years later. Then we see that the Pharaoh has a dream, but there's no one to interpret the dream. And because of Joseph's walk with God, he was able to interpret dreams. So the chief cupbearer tells Pharaoh about Joseph in prison. And this was time for the tables to turn for Joseph. Joseph comes before Pharaoh and tells him the meaning of his dream, which was about a famine that was coming. And Pharaoh was very impressed and gave him great honor. So he went into prison, 17, and he's now 30 years old, 13 years in prison, when he entered, now finally, the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and was given the authority as lord of Pharaoh's entire household and ruler over Egypt. Wow, what a change. God was with him and it had always been with him. The fulfillment of his dream 13 years later was now finally happening. Hebrews 6 verses 10 to 12 says, "For God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by caring for others' believers as you still do. Our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts, in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. Then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance." You see, God had an incredibly responsible position for Joseph to hold. And God didn't want Joseph to lack in any area that would stop him from doing all that God had purposed for him to do. If Joseph had moved into the service of Pharaoh earlier, he simply would not have been ready. There was one other powerful thing that Joseph did, and that was to forgive his brothers. Because of the famine in the land, his brothers came from another land to see the person in charge of food supplies, not knowing it was Joseph, their brother. You can imagine the surprise and dread they felt when they realized it was Joseph. And Joseph forgave his brothers and made sure their whole family was well looked after. James 1 verses 3 to 4 says, "For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up power within you to endure all things. And then as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing or nothing lacking." What a powerful scripture. Joseph remained faithful through being thrown into the pit, Potiphar's house, prison, and the palace. But he didn't allow bitterness to his brothers to steal his faith. He remained faithful in the process. You know, a marathon runner doesn't run because they sprint at the start, but because they keep going when others give up. The finish line rewards endurance, not speed. God measures success by faithfulness, not flashiness. Are you being faithful with what God's put in your hand today, even if nobody sees it? Finishing in faith begins in walking with God. Finishing in faith requires faithfulness in the process. And the third thing is, finishing in faith requires fighting the good fight of faith. Faith is not passive. It's a fight to stay true to God amidst trials, temptations, and distractions. 2 Timothy 4 verse 7 says, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." Paul calls faith a fight because faith will be tested. You will face battles of doubt, of disappointment, and discouragement. But faith says, I'm not quitting. God is still faithful. Finishing in faith means holding on when life doesn't make sense. How many have faced that time when life's not making sense? It's trusting God's heart when you can't trace his hand. It's trusting God when you can't trace his hand. The good fight is the fight for faith against fear, compromise, and spiritual fatigue. Psalm 84, verses 5 to 6 says, how enriched are those who find their strength in the Lord. Within their hearts are the highways of holiness. Even when their paths wind through the dark valleys of fear, they dig deep to find a pleasant pool where others only find pain. Finishing well doesn't mean life is easy, but that we didn't quit. You may have written yourself off or your situation off, but God hasn't. Proverbs 23 verses 17 to 18 says, don't envy evil men, but continue to reverence the Lord all the time, for surely you have a wonderful future ahead of you. There is hope for you yet. Isaiah 40, 29 to 31, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even the youth grow tired and weary, and the young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. God doesn't call us to be the fastest or the strongest, just the most faithful. Zechariah 4 verse 6 says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. God's work advances through human strength. God's work advances not through human strength, but through faithful dependence on his spirit. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9 says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Sometimes people think grace is, oh, it's grace, just a nice little, it sounds, you know, grace to you. It sounds gentle, doesn't it, but grace. Grace is so powerful. Grace is a powerful attribute of the kingdom of God. And grace can strengthen you when you feel so weak, so out of it, so had it, so no hope. Grace can make the most incredible difference. God's strength is revealed not in the strongest, but in those who stay faithful despite weakness. Paul the apostle endured persecution, shipwrecks, beatings, betrayal, imprisonment, and pain, but never lost his faith. He declared, I have kept the faith. He didn't say, I've kept my comfort. He said, I've kept my faith. Faith holds steady when the world shakes. And wow, isn't our world shaking at the moment? You know, you think of a lighthouse that stands firm in every situation, not because the storm is weak, but because its foundations are strong. When the storm comes, it keeps shining. And your faith is that lighthouse, steady, unwavering, and lighting the way for others, even in the storm. Let me ask you today, what fight are you in? Do you need strength to finish this year? Don't give up. God is very much still with you in the battle. He is for you. He is for you. So finishing in faith begins with walking with God. Finishing in faith requires faithfulness in the process. Finishing in faith requires fighting the good fight of faith. And the fourth thing is, I've only got 20, finishing in faith means finishing with God's grace. Ooh, there's that word grace again. You didn't start this journey by your own strength, and you won't finish it by your own strength either. Grace began the work, and grace will finish it. God starts it, sustains it, and finishes it. Philippians 1 verse 6, which we've already heard today, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, I receive it. When you feel weary, remember grace doesn't run out. There's just unlimited supply of grace. It carries you across the line. I love the same scripture in the Passion Translation. I pray with great faith for you because I am fully convinced that the one who began this glorious work in you will faithfully continue the process of maturing you and will put his finishing touches to it until the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you feel weary, remember grace doesn't run out. It carries you across the line. And for those who do feel weary, why don't you ask God today to renew your strength, give you that dimension of grace that you need to finish the race? When we look at Peter in the Bible, we see he denied Jesus three times, a failure by all standards and of all the people to deny Jesus, like, wow, mate. But grace met him again by the sea. Jesus restored him, recommissioned him, and Peter finished strong, preaching boldly until the end. Grace didn't just forgive Peter, it finished Peter. What looked like a failure became fruitfulness because grace finished the story. Will you allow God to strengthen you so grace can finish your story? When a child learns to ride a bike, the father's hand is always there, steadying them, guiding them, catching them if they fall. He doesn't scold them if they make a mistake. He just does everything he can to help them master to learn to navigate safely because he loves them so much. That's a picture of grace. The world we are living in has so many traps, bumps and holes for us all to fall in, designed to knock us off course and the destiny that God originally created for us. But when we ask him into our lives, he's there every step of the way, helping us, never leaving us, even in the times when we don't understand what is going on. If the worship team would like to come, please. Finishing in faith is not about human strength, but divine partnership. Living in faith is not about the destination at the end of our life, but the journey with God every moment of the day. Like Enoch, Joseph, Paul, Peter, and Jesus, may our lives echo heaven's affirmation, "Well done, good and faithful servant." This morning, we have the opportunity to share around the Lord's table. And if you didn't receive the communion emblems when you arrived today, if you could just slip up your hand high enough for our host to see so that they can assist you, that would be great. You know, Jesus asks us to share in communion in remembrance of him. He set the example of finishing in faith and hearing his father say, "Well done," through his relationship to God. He modeled consistent devotion under extreme pressure. Being dependent, he was dependent on God for his direction, and he was totally confident knowing God was with him always. Jesus was totally faithful in the process, involved to fulfill God's purpose for him. And he totally trusted God and lived a life of obedience born out of desire, not duty. Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 2 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion and who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he, Jesus, endured the cross, disregarding its shame. And now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne." Jesus endured and finished his race. "It is finished," he said, as he hung on the cross, bearing the full weight and penalty for all the sins of mankind, past, present, and future, my sins and your sins. And now he empowers us to finish in faith. You know, in the Olympics, runners fix their eyes on the finish line, not the crowd. And we finish our faith well. We finish in faith well while keeping our eyes on the ultimate reward, Jesus himself. The finish line isn't just heaven. It's knowing God looks at us and thinks, well done, well done, well done. As we partake the emblems this morning, the wafer, the bread, which represents his body given for us, and the juice, which represents not only his blood that was shed for us, but as a result, a new dimension of grace that began that we are so privileged to live in. Let us remember Jesus and be thankful. Let us eat and drink together. As we come to the end of 2025, let me ask you, who or what are your eyes fixed on? Is it Jesus, the people around you, or your circumstances?